Good afternoon, and welcome to the Shakespeare Uncovered public screening performance and discussion event this afternoon. I want to say thank you for coming. I really appreciate it. For those of you that don't know or may not know who I am, my name is Keith Martin. I am General Manager and Director of Engineering for KUAC. I have the distinct honor of working with the best public broadcasting staff ever, and frankly, the best community ever. I want to say thank you. I would like to take a moment to thank WNET, New York Public Media, and the National Endowment for the Humanities for making this event and all of the events surrounding Shakespeare Uncovered Season 2 possible. We appreciate the support and thank you very much. I would like to thank the Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater for being an incredible partner in raising awareness of this series, fostering enthusiasm and interest in Shakespeare's work at the local level, and engaging and building new local audiences for public media and the performing arts in creative and innovative ways. Thank you. Thanks again for coming out. And with that, I will turn the mic over to Rebecca George, Managing Director for the Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater.
Thank you all so much for coming out. We're so excited about all of these events, and we're so happy to be a partner with KUAC. We couldn't be more thrilled to be their local theater companion on this Shakespeare Uncovered journey. We're so happy to be here, and it is with great pleasure that I get to introduce a special guest we have in town. Chris Chaika from WNET is here, so I'd like you all to give him a big, warm Fairbanks welcome. Chris, come on up.
Good afternoon, everybody. As Rebecca mentioned, my name is Chris Chaika, and I am the Senior Director of Educational and Community Outreach at WNET, which is the PBS station in New York City. So I flew up yesterday afternoon, and I was glad to hear that the cold snap was breaking. It's great to be here in Fairbanks. WNET produces about a third of the content that is seen on PBS all across the United States. So if you've tuned into Great Performances or American Masters or Nature, and actually we do a lot of shooting of nature up here in Alaska, all of those shows are produced out of New York. But beyond the great shows we produce, WNET is committed to extending the impact of our broadcast productions in communities all across the country. We do that in a variety of ways, from screening events to teacher training workshops, where we work with teachers to use our resources in their classrooms with students, to museum events and zoo days, partnering with cultural institutions all across the United States. And Shakespeare Uncovered is no exception to that. You got this great little program when you walked in today. Shakespeare Uncovered is returning for its second season. The first season was back in 2013, and focused on six plays. But when you tune into Shakespeare Uncovered, you're not actually going to be seeing performances of the plays. These are really almost like prefaces to the plays, where you understand where did this story come from? What were Shakespeare's motivations for writing it and inspirations for writing it? How have productions of particular plays changed over the course of the last 400 years? In this season, you'll be hearing about how for over 200 years, Romeo and Juliet was performed with a happy ending because people thought it was too much of a downer when they both died at the end. So the broadcast schedule for Shakespeare Uncovered, coming up on February 5th on KUAC, you have A Midsummer Night's Dream, hosted by Hugh Bonneville, better known as Lord Grantham from Downton Abbey, King Lear with Christopher Plummer. On February 12th, Taming of the Shrew with Morgan Freeman, followed by Othello with David Harewood, and then February 19th, just a few days after Valentine's Day, you get the very happy love stories of Antony and Cleopatra, hosted by Kim Cattrall, and Romeo and Juliet, hosted by Joseph Fiennes. The great thing about the way we put together Shakespeare Uncovered is that each of the hosts, the celebrity hosts who are talking you through and taking you through the journey of the play, have some personal connection to the play. So Hugh Bonneville, who does the Midsummer Night's Dream episode, actually his first professional job was in the open air production in Regent's Park in London of Midsummer Night's Dream, where he was understudying Joseph Fiennes. So that provides a nice connection. As I was saying earlier, we really work to make sure that there is a life beyond just a television show for a lot of the productions that we do. For season one of Shakespeare Uncovered, we partnered with PBS stations in 10 communities across the country to not only promote the series, but also raise the profile of Shakespeare at the local level. So we charged each PBS station with partnering with a local Shakespeare theater or performing arts institution to really think about some creative and innovative ways to get the word out about the series and to kind of publicize the fact that you don't need to go to the Globe in London, you don't need to go to Lincoln Center in New York. Shakespeare is all across the country and accessible to everybody. We had some great activities that came out of the work that we did surrounding season one. In Nashville, Tennessee, they tried to get into the Guinness Book of World Records with the largest balcony scene in the world. So they invited people to a downtown park, and they had a bunch of Juliets up on a bridge and a bunch of Romeos down below the bridge, and they performed it simultaneously. We've really had great experiences with stations across the country, and when it came time for a second season of Shakespeare Uncovered, because of the success we had, we immediately wanted to partner with more stations. And it wasn't just that we had these great little events all across the country, we really saw results. WCVE in Richmond, Virginia partnered with Richmond Shakespeare, and Little Richmond, Virginia ended up getting among the highest ratings for the series in the country. Nebraska Educational Television partnered with Nebraska Shakespeare Festival, and the summer after Shakespeare Uncovered was on, they actually had the highest attendance at their free summer performances that they've had in the 50-year history of the company. So as we were starting up the second season of Shakespeare Uncovered, we wanted to replicate that effect. We put out a call for proposals to PBS stations all across the United States, and we were deluged with proposals from all over. And I told the folks from KUAC this story, and it's absolute truth. The way we decide which stations are getting grants is people from all across WNET read the proposals and then come together in a conference room and everybody presents their top 10. The number one highest rated proposal that we received was from KUAC in Fairbanks, Alaska. So give yourselves a round of applause. So right now, we have got Shakespeare Uncovered events happening all across the country. There are some happening today, there were some happening earlier this week, from flash mobs that are taking place in Lubbock, Texas, where Shakespeare is spontaneously being performed all over the city of Lubbock, to Tallahassee, Florida, where they're conducting something they're calling Shakespearean Eco Tours, where they've partnered with the State Park System and the Shakespeare Theater, and people are touring around a natural springs park. And as they tour around the park, there are actors from the local Shakespeare Theater performing various scenes related to nature. So really a lot of stuff going on, and each of these stations is also producing companion television and radio content. So local companion productions to the national series. And I know KUAC has been doing a lot on the radio. All of these productions from all across the country will be available on the program website, pbs.org/Shakespeare Uncovered. Not only will you be able to watch the big national series, but you'll also get to take a look at all of these local productions that have been produced by stations across the country. Very shortly, we're going to be taking a look at episode one of Shakespeare Uncovered season two, Midsummer Night's Dream, hosted by Hugh Bonneville. But before I leave the stage, I just wanted to thank a variety of folks. First of all, the staff of KUAC, and in particular, Emily Barachoa. They have put together this whole event, but not only this event, the radio productions, everything that's going on in the community surrounding Shakespeare Uncovered. So thank you to KUAC. Also to the staff and company of Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater. This is a major component of the success of this initiative is the partnership between the PBS station and the local Shakespeare company, so thanks to them. And then on the back of your programs you've got today, there is a long blurb, which is the list of funders. And when you tune in to see Shakespeare Uncovered on KUAC, You'll hear those recited every night. We want to especially thank the National Endowment for the Humanities, who really got behind this effort to bring Shakespeare to life in all of these communities across the United States. So big thanks to the National Endowment for the Humanities, and big thanks, of course, what am I going to say? To viewers like you. Very importantly, before I leave the stage, in your program when you came in today, there was a little evaluation form. Please make sure, before you leave today, spend 30 seconds to a minute just filling this out, because we actually do take all of this information, and we're taking information from all of the events we're having all across the country. We compile it all, and we put it in our reports to NEH, and we've already started talking to them about season 3. So once again, thank you all very, very much for coming out today. Thanks to KUAC, and thanks to Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater. And now, please enjoy Shakespeare Uncovered, A Midsummer Night's Dream.
So fun to get to see that before it airs on TV. Thank you so much, KUAC and WNET and National Endowment for the Humanities. I'd also like to give a triple, quadruple thanks to those organizations, because they require a local theater partner for this program. And that is so huge to us as your Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater, as the local theater partner. This kind of exposure and this kind of education for our audience and for ourselves is just immeasurable. We're so thankful. And what a great series. I mean, to get to see the Julie Taymor production, the tech in that is insane. We're all just drooling, so jealous of their budget. I mean, that's just beautiful. And then to see the Globe performances, it's just priceless to get to see that. It's just wonderful. There's several other series episodes, obviously, that are going to air on KUAC. So those are all on their website, but I just want to let you know when those are. So February 5th is Midsummer Night's Dream with Hugh Bonneville, which we just saw. So if you loved it, tell other people to watch that. And it's followed by King Lear, hosted by Christopher Plummer, which we just saw a little promo for. And then February 12th, The Taming of the Shrew with Morgan Freeman, followed by Othello with David Harewood. And then February 19th, Anthony and Cleopatra, hosted with Kim Cattrall, followed by Romeo and Juliet with Joseph Fiennes. And those are all going to be on KUAC TV, so check those out. What we're going to do next for this event is we're going to do a little FST Uncovered. I'm going to invite all of the actors and participants, not all of them, some of them couldn't be here today, but we are working on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, which you might have heard of. It's an educational tour that's part of the Shakespeare in American Communities Initiative, so we'll be taking this production around the state to schools. We'll also be having public performances. This is a reduced version. We reduced it down to about 65, 70 minutes for the schools. And another really special feature of this production is parts of the play have been translated into Gwich'in. We started this process with Lear Hekwai in 2013, which was another Shakespeare in American Communities tour that we did. And it was so successful, we wanted to continue it and build on it. And this production is actually going to include some Yupik and Tlingit as well. So we are incorporating several Alaska Native languages in our project as part of kind of support for language revitalization and to bring a local context to A Midsummer Night's Dream. So we're really excited about this project. So we're going to give you a little sneak peek. They just started rehearsals, so you know this is really uncovered. You're going to see us in our process, but you'll get to see the final version. We're doing public performances at Pioneer Park, the Centennial Center for the Arts, in March. And that information's on our website as well. We'll have 3 public performances here in town that you can catch and see the finished, polished, costumed, beautiful version of what you're going to see today. So at this time, I'd like to invite the cast and director up. And if you want to stretch, everyone just stand up and maybe do a little stretch. I know that's kind of that was an hour long of sitting. We're not really taking an intermission. We're just going to get going here, but I just want to give you a chance to shake it off. Oh, yes. Okay, I wanted to introduce everyone up on stage before we get started, but I would also like to introduce some very important people that are out in the audience. We have a couple board members here today. Could you stand up and say, wave, say hello, yay! There's Eric and Siri. Our board, it's a volunteer position, and anyone who's ever worked on a board for a nonprofit knows that it is a very challenging service that they provide to the community. It really is just, we're so grateful to you. So thank you for working so hard and volunteering to make sure that we exist. And also, I see many donors out there, and I cannot thank you enough. We cannot be here without you, without your support. We really rely on it. Obviously, ticket sales only cover a small portion of what we do, especially here in Alaska and when we perform outdoors in the summer, depending on the Alaska weather. So we've got lots of variables. So your support is just huge, and we want to thank you so much. So all of you donors, I see you, I thank you, we love you, and give yourselves a hand. I'm going to introduce the players here, and then I'm going to do just a little brief history of FST. Some of you are probably pretty familiar with us, but for those of you that aren't, I'm going to also try and include some fun facts for those of you that think you know us but might not know all the details. Here's Tom Robinault. He's director for the Midsummer Tour. Tom. He is returning from Perseverance Theater. He was working with us for several years, and now he's down there working with them, but we get to have him back for this project, so I'm super excited about that. Kat Woodkey played Rosalind last summer in our As You Like It. You might recognize her. She also teaches our drama camps. She's a phenomenal drama camp teacher. She'll be teaching Spring Break Drama Camp, which is in March here in the Lab Theater. Alan Hayton. Alan is playing Oberon, and he played Lear in Lear Hekwai. He also translated both scripts along with Marilyn Savage and a few others that he will mention when he gives his talk about the translating. He's going to give us a lot more information about that shortly. Delinda Pushitoniqua is here from Iowa. She's a returning guest artist. She was in the Lear Hekwai tour. Jake Wade is here. Another special guest artist joining us, but longtime company member. I think Jake was here from the beginning. Were you in the first production? Yes.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you more about that with the history. Sarah Mitchell is our education coordinator, our tour manager, and she's also playing Helena. She wears many hats. A super talented lady. And then Brian Westcott is joining us with FST for the first time, but he is known statewide with the Winter Bear Project. He's a famous actor joining us from LA. All right, let me just get going here. I'm gonna switch over to this mic. This is fun. All right. So this is just a little brief history about FST. This is our FST Uncovered portion. I just want to share a few things with you that you might not know and just take this opportunity. It's really just great for us to have this chance to share with you what we do and get the word out about our upcoming events and programs. We have so many events and programs that are coinciding with this Shakespeare Uncovered series. It's just so fortuitous. It's such a good time for us to have this partnership. And I'll tell you more, a little bit more about those. So you probably are aware, but we've been here for 23 years. We started in 1993 on the banks of the Chena River with Twelfth Night. And I forgot to introduce one of the most important players here. He was in this production, and he's one of the founding members, our founding artistic director, Bruce. Where are you? Him down in the right-hand corner there, playing. Who was that in Twelfth Night, Bruce? Malvolio, great. Okay, so yeah, we've been here 23 years. This summer will be our 23rd summer show. We started off on the banks of the Chena, but we've also performed at Birchill Recreation Area, the Dog Mushers Field, and then two places here on campus. We started out at a space behind Belaine Lake, and now we're at Jack Townsend Point, which is right behind the Museum of the North. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank UAF and Summer Sessions. They're sponsors of ours, and they allow us to be in these beautiful outdoor spaces on their campus. So we're just thrilled to be there. We have special under 18 free performances. So during the summer, you can come, if you're 18 or under, you can come to certain performances for free. And we've had that going for over 10 years now. So we've offered a lot of free performances for our youth, hoping to rope them in, and I see them as they grow older, 10 years later, bringing their friends. So it's working. We're really excited about that program. Let's see. We also do performances year-round. This is a shot of Little Prince, which we did at the Masonic Temple downtown in 2003. We used to do shows down at the Empress. We're currently looking for a year-round home, just putting that out there to the universe. We're no longer at the Empress, but we did perform several, not only Shakespeare, but classic performances of Mice and Men and Our Town and Shaw's Misalliance. And we even did a local playwright, a new play, Campaign the Spectacle. That was one of my favorites. We are having public performances, I told you about that, of Midsummer, or of this production at Pioneer Park. So the Centennial Center for the Arts is where we'll be for this show. We also perform Bardathon, and that's part of our education mission. Education is a really big part of our mission. Bardathon, as you probably know, but if you don't, it's a 24-hour reading of the complete works of William Shakespeare. So for 7 days, we go straight, we read all of his works. Every 4 hours, we start a new play. It's open to the public. Anyone can come and read. And what's great about this event coinciding with Shakespeare Uncovered is you can watch these episodes and get all the information and get familiar with the play, and then you can come read it yourself. You can come down and read with us. We're doing all the plays, so check our website for the schedule. It's a great event, and it's really fun to sit and listen and hear. You know, there's some obscure ones that you don't get to hear often, and if you come to Bardathon, you get to not only participate, but hear those. We also do lots of drama camps. That's another part of our education programming. We have a spring break drama camp coming up, which will be here at the Lab Theater. It's ages 8 to 18. And Kat will be teaching that camp. We also have summer drama camps. We have a two-week camp for ages 8 to 13. We call them the fledglings. And then we have a three-week drama camp for the groundlings, which is 13 to 18. And a lot of these groundlings have grown up with us, and then they end up performing on our summer stage, and then they go off and do lots of amazing things, and then come back and perform with us again. Our drama camps are really amazing and taught by great teachers. Actually, Tom's taught, and Sarah's taught, and Kat's taught. They've all taught at our camps. We also, part of our education is educating emerging artists and Alaska artists. We've toured around internationally. We've gone to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. We've toured the state with our main stage shows, and we've gone to the World Shakespeare Congress in Australia. So not only do we bring up some of these, like these guest artists, to perform with us, that's how I came up here, was I was an undergrad and my professor was directing A Midsummer Night's Dream and said, come on up. And I said, okay, and several of us did and have been returning ever since. And I think that's how Tom got up here too, and Kat got up here through different professors of theirs. But we also like to take Alaska artists and take them out and show them different performance venues, you know, like the Edinburgh Fringe, and we did go to NYC Fringe Festival. So part of our touring also includes educational tours. This is a map of our first NEA Shakespeare and American Communities tour, which was in 2005, and that was of a mini Bardathon. So the Bardathon I was just talking about, we took across to all these places in Alaska. Our second NEA tour was of 12th Night. We went down to Kodiak and the Kenai Peninsula, up to Nome and Kotzebue. And our third NEA Shakespeare in American Communities tour was the Lear Hekwai project, which you'll hear a little bit more about. This was in Kotzebue, I believe, and we went all across the state with that, providing performances to over 2,200 students. This is our schedule for our Midsummer Night's Dream tour. So these are the places we'll be taking this version. And we'll start that tour February 22nd, and it goes through March 15th. We do workshops and talkbacks with the kids at each school. as part of the program and the free arts education that we provide. And this is a picture of the Lear and the screen that has the Shakespeare on there, and that is Alan and Princess, and they were speaking in Gwich'in for that performance, which we're gonna see a little bit more of for our midsummer show here. So that's just a little bit about what we do. I wanted to share that with you before we get going, and I want to now introduce Alan Hayton. Alan.
Well, good afternoon. Just wanted to express my gratitude to Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater, to the National Endowment for the Arts. It was about 3 years ago that Tom and Rebecca cornered me in the midst of my finishing out my MA degree here at the university in applied linguistics. I'm very interested in our language and teaching our language, and they suggested, why don't we do Lear, set in Alaska with a Gwich'in title character. And as soon as I said that, it was just like, yes, of course, that would work. That would be absolutely fantastic. And of course, we didn't understand at the early beginning, how large this undertaking would be. But it just made a lot of sense. You know, the elders that I grew up with, many of whom are passing on, we're losing our elders and losing our language. And these are all just very urgent for me as a Alaska native, and elders I can remember, even locally, like Peter John, Walter Northway, Chief Andrew Isaac, David Salmon, many of the elders I grew up with in Arctic Village. They were just treasure troves of knowledge and wisdom, and first language speakers of their Alaska native languages. And it just seemed like a perfect fit for the story of Lear, this patriarch, something like something from another world compared to the generation gap that he has with his own offspring. So we began in earnest to translate, and I worked with Marilyn Savage, who is thankfully was game and adventurous enough in spirit and imagination to say, well, okay, let's see if we can do this. It wasn't the first time that we began that these works were translated to Gwich'in. Great works such as the Old and New Testaments were translated in the 1860s into Gwich'in language, as well as many hymns. I don't know how this works.
I got it.
Okay, you have it. Here's an example of a hymn that was introduced, or that seemed to fit perfectly with Lear. And maybe I'll sing the first, and you can sing along if you want. You'll recognize the tune once we start. But it seems to be magically appropriate for Lear. So it goes, Vit e gwi chan chu cho, dik e gwa da cho che, ni zhu kon dai. And it's, of course, the Anglican Church that there were the missionaries that approached or began Christianizing the Gwich'in people of Alaska and Canada, the Church of England. So this is not my country, tis of thee, but God save the King. So it fit perfectly with Lear, and we began the production 2 years ago with this hymn or anthem. So of course, translating Shakespeare, we had to first put it into plain English for our translators in order to translate it to the Gwich'in. So you'll see over here on the left column is the Shakespeare, in the middle column is plain English, and then on the far column is the Gwich'in. And so we began, that was a very successful experience and great experience. We, some of the audience members said, that was the first play I've seen, and it was in my language. So it just had a great impact on the audiences we shared it with here in Fairbanks, as well as around the state, up to Arctic Village and Fort Yukon. And we thought, well, let's see if we can capture that magic again. And we applied to the National Endowment for the Arts for this production, Midsummer Night's Dream. And along the way, thankfully, we were able to translate, you know, the concept with Lear worked very well. And then here in Midsummer Nights, as you saw in the episode we just watched, the forests, the world of the fairy, it's a dream world, and it has its own logic and everything. I mean, it's made it possible, I think, for this concept to fit with this production. And we also wanted it to be a celebration. A year ago, the Alaska legislature passed the bill recognizing Alaska's 20 Alaskan native languages as official languages of the state. And thankfully, with Brian speaking in Yupik, myself and some other characters speaking in Wich'en, and as well as Titania, who's out here in the audience, speaking Tlingit, we wanted it to be a celebration and a way to honor the governor signing this bill to recognize Alaska Native languages as official languages of the state. And it's just a great opportunity to do so. So without further ado, we'd like to share some of the scenes from the play. The one we'll begin with, and these are just, we just began rehearsals. So actors will have script in hand and also are still mastering some of the sounds and the languages. So Brian and Delinda playing one of the fairies, the head fairy, and Puck having a scene together.
Chitya Ninjin Gwatsa Adanyi.
Bengushun Kurushun Jubu Rashun Juji Lanachun. Jazgushun Maskun Yetlushu. Ayagatu Nga Bijadun. Jugan Rula Eralum. Titanyam Jalistekanya. Ishin Shokta Danrat. Yurasu jigan get ilawatni, now start munongat. Dan yeshi kaden gu balget, now start ka wi rulu den. Ish jin khat jik juget gait, asirf nu nachlu denlu.
Kegutat cho oberan juk hat dech arahat e heya. Da'at no yat shrup, but a big e gun liguijik. Geh at chiji heque, but un trinin nap e. Gwich ki jat ijik qua. I trinin yitho hai thidi gitri e. I gehan oberan yatri. Oberan I trinin yintan. Gah I tutanya du ye gwintle ya hecha. Guijik chan I trinin. Gwaji Nidilti Yigihait e Nitya.
Alach den Velguma. As wool via ruden dun rauluden. Shu ashen Robin Goodfellow. Downuden pop.
It's eight yati now. Jidi Shingihai I it e shishaye. Tu guan tishaya. Inje kinehithik un glahinti ye e obran aha.
Faniwa na sola kwa aya glig downa.
So that was great, thank you. That was Yupik and Gwich'in. I wanted to just share this it's from a blog that was online, and it's from Gary. Gary, are you in here? I don't even know who this is, so you might be here. But this was some of the feedback we got from Lear regarding involving this language. So I'm just going to read that to you really quickly. This past weekend was an eventful one in the world of Alaska Native languages. On Sunday, I had an opportunity to see the matinee performance of Lear Hekwai, a witch in production of King Lear. Now, I must admit that I've always been a sucker for Shakespeare, not that I'm particularly knowledgeable about the plays. My memory of the Lear plot is quite vague, basically a bunch of betrayals, and not that I'm any sort of theater buff, but somehow the language of Shakespeare draws me in, so that I'm less concerned with the overall plot and more attuned to the immediate emotion of the moment. That's what's fun about Shakespeare. So Shakespeare in Gwich'in, what would that be like? In short, even more intense than Shakespeare in English. Not 2 minutes into the production, I was nearly in tears. Not because I was so moved by the plot, but because I was hearing the Gwich'in language, beautifully articulated and performed. I couldn't understand more than a handful of words, apologies to my Gwich'in teachers of past years, but I felt the language even more deeply and forcefully. Here in downtown Fairbanks, on traditional Athabascan territory, a 400-year-old English play was being given life through the words of a native language. At the same time, the words of King Lear, Lear Hekwai, were giving new life to Gwich'in. The script weaves the two languages together seamlessly, giving real meaning to the concept of bilingualism and leaving me to wonder what a truly bilingual Alaska would be like. Alan Hayton, who just recently defended his master's thesis in applied linguistics at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, delivers Lear's lines so convincingly in Gwich'in that it feels as if Shakespeare himself wrote in Gwich'in. Language revitalization takes many forms. There is no single right path. But however we get there, we must include the arts somewhere along the way. Theater, with its unique focus on language and dialogue, has an important role to play. Lear Hekwai is at the same time a brilliant work of theater and a groundbreaking contribution to language revitalization in Alaska. I just thought that was awesome and beautiful and really describes one of our intents and one of the goals behind this project. So now let's hear a scene from Alan playing Oberon and Delinda playing Puck.
Sir Puck, Anne. I told an okay near I. I did the one zit if I'm not called Takachi. Kiss Chubizik, I one zit with Chuponeto, Catnetan Jaji, Chineki, that let's off Kituka in Chitikaheva. I told an since Onji. Hunchy, to a clay street, a hook to two zit in the yard with Keith.
I de Guahan Quicky Nung cut the thick Galen Nahalga.
I told on the chooch eat eh, to Tanya the Tigris if in a dock at me jaw. Hick you, I clay do, do talk it not in. I it a henya. Dinjina inji, jitty mingare, chiser, so, so, mucky lafo. I talk it not in and jit a heather. Ne shri hlag wiki, chis ye gwanzi ha chanja di hikla, ai chin in sitsia tsal hotza.
So that was Oberon giving Puck some orders there. So we've seen just the fairy world so far, and as you saw in the series, there's three different worlds in Midsummer's. So we're going to see a scene from the lovers, the courtly world. And this is Sarah Mitchell and Kat Woodkey playing Helena and Hermia.
Godspeed, fair Helena. Whither away?
Call you me fair? That fair again, unsay. Demetrius loves your fair. Oh, happy fair. Your eyes are lodestars, and your tongue sweet air more tunable than lark to shepherd's ear. When wheat is green and hawthorn buds appear. Sickness is catching? Oh, were favor so. Yours would I catch, fair Hermia, ere I go. My ear should catch your voice, my eye your eye. My tongue should catch your tongue's sweet melody. Were the world mine, Demetrius being baited, the rest I give to be to you translated. Oh, teach me how you look, and with what art you sway the motion of Demetrius' heart. I frown upon him, yet he loves me still.
That your frowns would teach my smiles such skill.
I give him curses, yet he gives me love.
That my prayers could such affection move.
The more I hate, the more he follows me.
The more I love, the more he hateth me.
His folly, Helena, is no fault of mine.
None but your beauty. Would that fault were mine.
Thank you. the third world of this play is the mechanicals. So we have a scene featuring the rude mechanicals. We have Brian Westcott and Jake Wade, and many of the characters are doubling because we have a very small cast. So Cat is also a mechanical.
Is all our company here?
You're best to call them generally, man by man, according to the script.
Here. Here is the scroll of every man's name, which is thought fit through all Athens to play in our interlude before the Duke and the Duchess on his wedding day at night.
First, Peter Quinn, say what the play treats on, then name the names of the actors, and so grow to a point.
Mary, our play is a most lamentable comedy and most cruel death of Pyramus and Thisbe.
Very good piece of work, I assure you. And Mary, now call forth your actors by the scroll. Actors, spread yourselves.
Answer as I call you. You, Nick Bottom, are set down for Pyramus.
What is Pyramus? A lover or a tyrant?
A lover. That kills himself. Most gallant for love.
That will ask some tears in the true performing of it, if I do it. Let the audience look to their eyes. I will move storms. I will condole in some measure. To the rest. Francis. Yet my chief humor is for a tyrant. I can play Heracles rarely or a pot of Terracotton to make all split. The raging rocks and shivering sharks shall break the locks of prison gates, and Phoebus' car shall shine from far and make and mar the foolish fates. This was lofty.
Thank you to the players. I want to acknowledge and say hello to Erin Tripp, who's playing Titania and Hippolyta. Come up here. She just got into town yesterday, so we didn't think it was fair to throw her in on stage right away, but I do want to introduce her and get her face in your eyes. And Erin is throwing in some Tlingit, which is going to be really fun when she's fighting with Oberon, who will be speaking Gwich'in. It's going to be amazing. So now we're just going to open, we're going to have a little panel discussion and open it up for questions. So be thinking of any questions you might have for the cast. And Sarah, who I had mentioned before is our education coordinator and tour manager as well, is going to be the moderator for this panel. So take it away, Sarah.
All right. Hi, everybody. So we're going to start just by talking with Tom a little bit about his approach to Midsummer. And then, as Rebecca said, be thinking of your questions, because we'll be wanting to hear from you in a moment. So Tom, I wanted to hear about your thoughts on where we start the play in Act One, Scene One, and kind of the world of the Athenian court, and how you think Shakespeare is melding Athenian and Elizabethan traditions, and where we come in with our kind of Gwich'in take on it.
Well, especially back then in Shakespeare's time, it wasn't uncommon for people to know the history and the stories of Greek culture. So he used that to get the exposition of characters such as Theseus and Hippolyta. As soon as they stepped on stage and were announced, that was the audience would know exactly who those people were without having to go into exposition. As soon as the show starts, we know exactly where we're at. For an Elizabethan audience, they would know that. And to the blend of the cultures, it happens a lot in Act One, Scene One, especially with the sharp Athenian law. They called an Athenian law, but that was actually an Elizabethan thing where there was an arranged marriage, and it was the father who had the right and the say of who was married to who through power or money, et cetera. There's also another clue where I think the lines are, Hippolyta, I wooed thee with my sword and won thy love, doing thee injuries, but I will wed thee in another key with pomp, with triumph, and with reveling. And within that meter line, or within that, sorry, that full sentence, there's two different themes of the Greek culture and Elizabethan culture. We know, and Shakespeare's audience would have known, that in Greek mythology, Theseus won Hippolyta over the queen through a battle by defending Athens from Hippolyta and the Amazons. The part with the love over by pomp and triumph and reveling, it's also, this play takes place around the rites of May, the beginning of May through June, where they had lots of games and it was a lot of celebrations for springtime and welcoming in spring. And this place, obviously, the Midsummer, which some people take as a reference as a solstice. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a solstice. In our play, it will be because it's Alaskan, and what's more Alaskan than the summer solstice? But it was between the 21st and the 24th. So within that line, he blended the two. What we're doing is we're taking a common theme that our audience might know, and that's Alaskan culture, and blending it in with Shakespeare's culture to create a play.
Cool, great. And could you share with us what you had to do when you were cutting the play, like the language you came around that you had to change to kind of fit Alaska? We talked a little bit about that.
There are some things that we've done to not quite alter, but to change the word. Or to change kind of what a sight gag may be or the character. So for instance, Bottom, when he comes out after being transformed by Puck, it won't be a donkey's head, it will be a moose head. So that keeps it, you know, very local. Also, the flower that's used to change, to put the spell on lovers, will be the shooting star flower that you find up in the Arctic Circle around Arctic Village. So we've used things like that and made them more Alaskan. We also changed lion, the role of the lion that's in the Mechanicals scenes, into grizzly. So we've changed little things like that to help make it more Alaskan.
Great, and then I was also wanting to share with the group here, we just started rehearsals 2 weeks ago, so we spent about a week doing just Gwich'in, and then this last week we've gotten into staging, and I've really been enjoying how you come at staging, so could you tell us a little bit about that when you're blocking a scene?
Sure. The way I approach staging is I let the actors go through the scene themselves, and I see where they're coming from, and I feed off of that. To me, staging should come from the actors, what the actors are feeling, what their intentions are, what their instincts are, and to grow off of that. And so through that, there's a lot of stop and starting, and we find the shape of the scene together through the intentions of the actor and the instincts of the actor. And we, before this, we always do table work, and we talk about the meanings and what's being said, and especially with a play like our play, what the Alaskan meaning is, or what we might be able to do. Never to beat it over the head, but what kind of little color can we give this scene, or this approach, or this character, to make it more local?
Great, lovely, thank you. Great, well, we wanna open it up to you all. And so the way this will work, if you'll just raise your hand, I'll call on you, and then I'll probably repeat the question back so everybody can hear. But to start out, can we just have everybody introduce themselves one more time and say where you're from originally?
So, Tom Robinault, I'm at Perseverance Theater right now.
Kat Woodkey, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Alan Hayden, I grew up in Arctic Village.
I'm Delinda, I grew up at the Meskwaki Indian Settlement near Tama, Iowa.
Jake Wade, Juneau, Alaska.
Brian Westcott, Esther Dome.
All right. All right, so who is just dying to ask a question out there? You can raise your hand, share with us, don't be shy. And since I know a lot of you, I'll just start calling on you. Eric.
Well, how many people are going to be in the cast?
Sure. Yeah, great question. Eric is our board president. So how many people are in the cast of Midsommar? There are a fair amount of characters in the show, and Tom did have to do some major thinking about how to make it work with a touring cast.
There are 10.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is this working? It is, okay. Yeah, there are 10 actors. Most are all doubled, some are tripled. We have the lovers double as mechanicals and fairies. The obvious doubling that a lot of people do is Hippolyta and Theseus are Oberon and Titania. Puck doubles as Philostrate. There's a lot of doubling going on. They run back, change a costume in 30 seconds, and come back on.
We were rehearsing today, and Brian's going to run off as Peter Quince, and then I think I'll be the only one backstage, so I'll probably help him become the fairy in about 11 seconds.
We're figuring out
seconds.
The track right now.
Yeah. All right, thanks. Other questions out there? Yes, sir. So the question is the challenges along with this behemoth of a project translating into Gwich'in.
Yes, certainly. There's first unlocking Shakespeare's language to understand. There's different layers of meaning that often he uses in metaphor and what do you translate exactly? Choosing those things and then putting it into plain English, firstly, helped a great deal. And then when we put it into Gwich'in, a lot of times there aren't exactly direct translations possible, and so we try to go for the sense of it or the something that would be intelligible for Gwich'in speakers. When they hear it on stage, they understand what it is, and it's not something they have to interpret. But some certain concepts, like I was talking with my uncle about, well, what is, how would we say Midsummer Night's Dream? And the midnight sun, and in an Alaskan context, there's just a different sense of it. And we don't really have direct words for a lot of these ideas, like the seasons. We often will name or describe what is happening in the environment with the animals. The word for June is Vananchiho, the month when birds are laying their eggs, or July, Tluktoji, when the king salmon come up the river. There's all these changes that are happening around us in the environment that we call, or we name the moons after them. So it is a challenge, but I think the experience we had with Lear, the audience were laughing in places where they recognize there's some humor happening, lightened up the mood of the tragedy. So I hope that we'll have that with this play as well, Midsummer Nights in March, when the public is able to come see the production.
Great, thanks. Other questions out there? Yes. So the question is about, with the Lear project, when we traveled to Arctic Village and Fort Yukon, could most of the elders understand the Gwich'in?
Oh, certainly. I was quite nervous in Arctic Village. This is where I grew up, and all of the elders I grew up with were there in the audience, and I wanted to do a good job, so I was a little nervous, and I did kind of speak quickly. So one of them said, you should slow down. Another elder, she said, that was a good talent show. Theater is not something that they go to regularly. And so that's how they related to it. But I'm glad that it was well received. I was very worried about that. But the audience, our elders, thankfully appreciated it. They understand, the importance of passing our language on, the culture and ideas, the knowledge. So I'm glad that it was very well received.
Great. I think we have time for a couple more questions out there. Yes, Belinda.
All right, oh, yeah. So this is for Delinda about coming back, returning after the Lair project, having kind of gotten deeply into Gwich'in, and how that's informed your own experience of your Meskwagi culture.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you. Valinda was our stage manager for Lear Hekwe, so she knew my lack of confidence in myself learning Gwich'in, which is a completely, entirely different type of language than Meskwagi language. Both of my parents were fluent speakers, but as I was growing up, it wasn't something that they wanted us to learn. They wanted us to speak English and get educated and get our college degrees and make something of ourselves in the world. So we would hear the language, but they would only talk to us in Meskwagi if we were in trouble. You know, they'd go on a tangent and start yelling at us in Meskwagi. But yeah, after I went home, you know, back home, we are also having a language revitalization, you know, it's like, we're trying to bring it back as we're losing it with my generation, and we have a language preservation department that my uncle is directing, and we are bringing the language to our school, and it's going to be a language immersion school. And so I would work at the school, and I would work in the pre-K class where they were already doing the language preservation, and I was learning new words, and it made me realize that I want to do theater in Meskwagi back home in my community. And even just last week I was on Facebook and, you know, talking to my community. We have a secret group page, and, you know, everybody's on there talking about whatever community happenings. And so I said, this is what I want to do. I want to do a play in the language, whether it's Shakespeare, whether it's an original play, or, you know, some other production. And it really made me want to become more immersed in my own culture, because I had not lived in Tama for 10 years. I left when I was 18 to get my college education and all that. So, yeah. Yes.
Great. I think we have time for one more question. Yes, Anne. Love that question. That's something we've talked about a lot. So the question is for Alan again, how much of the play gets translated into Gwich'in, and how did Tom and Alan kind of collaborate on that decision?
Yes, it was quite a process. Tom was the one who edited the play down to a running time that we could perform in schools. And then looking at that, cutting what makes sense within the play and the logic and the world of the play that we're creating. In Lear, it was that basically Lear was kind of withdrawing and returning to a world that he knew in his youth. He's an elder in the play, and then he's kind of withdrawing to his younger days, and the world is seeming further and further distant from him, and he just completely reverts to Gwich'in language. And the fool, his constant companion in that production, also was a Gwich'in speaker, Pete Peter. And then my daughters, Regan and Cordelia and Goneril, had some Gwich'in, but the majority was Cordelia, who was probably his closest daughter and most faithful at the end. With this production, with Midsummer Nights, again, it's probably not quite as much. I think with Lear, maybe been half of the play was in Gwich'in. In this production, a quarter, somewhere around there. Just by the structure of the play, the three different worlds, the third world, or this world of the fairies, is the one that is going to be mostly in native language. And I really was moved when Brian, maybe he could speak about that. You know, Yupik was a language that his mother spoke, but or his ancestral people spoke, but I'll let him talk about that.
Is this on? Hi. Yeah, my mom spoke nothing but Yupik until she was 7, and then they shipped off to boarding school, so it's that story. And in life, I try to keep a pretty sunny disposition. I hope I'm succeeding in that. But one thing that has been really hard is having the language, not having that as a part of my life. So what this play is doing, in a very simple and beautiful way, it's giving an occasion to just step in and speak. And I'm just so happy and so grateful to have the chance to do that here. Thank you.
Great. Sure.
One of the things, too, and is this on?
These are weird.
One thing that we thought of that helps bring the language is, and for this play, is a character of Bottom. When he is transformed, he starts to speak Gwich'in, where he didn't before. And that's probably the big theme and the big channel that we have, where we have an Alaska Native actor, and in this play, amateur actor, who is part of the city life, where he's lost this language. When he's transformed by Puck, by this ancestral world, which is the fairy world in Shakespeare's play, he starts to speak Gwich'in with Titania. And so he gets sucked back into that. And there's a very interesting and perfect line for this is when he is turned into the moose in our play, Peter Quince runs out and says, oh, Bottom, bless thee, thou art translated. And it's perfect, you know. He's speaking Gwich'in to all these mechanicals, and they're freaking out, and they're running everywhere, and they're getting out of there. And then when he's released of the dream, he goes back, and it's the Bottom's dream speech, and he's back to English. And that speech now has a whole new meaning when he's saying it, about what he thought he was and what he thought he saw and what he thought he said. So that's one of the great themes that helps us work the Gwich'in into the play. And the character of Bottom really is floats in and out. And for our play, he's one of the most important characters because of that.
All right, well, thanks everybody so much for coming out today. I'm going to pass the baton back to Rebecca. This is a great time to start filling out your evaluations. WNET would be very thankful, and KUAC.
Yes.
And we're so grateful for getting to do this partnership with our friends at KUAC.
Yes, those are my closing comments. Please, please, please fill out your surveys. Those are really important to us and the granting agency and our partners. It's a really big deal. So thank you so much for coming and being a part of this, and we hope to see you at all of our events coming up. Please check our website and check KUAC's website for all these Shakespeare Uncovered events and all of our events coming up. And please just fill those surveys out and hand them in on the way out. Also, out on a table right outside, there's season brochures and drama camp forms if you want to register your little one for Spring Break Drama Camp. It's coming soon. And also some brochures about Bardathon and sponsoring that. Once again, thank you so much. Thank you to Chris from WNET for being here, and thank you, KUAC. And thanks for coming out today. Have a great weekend.
Show starts at 2:30, calls at 2:00.
Oh, so crazy.